Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In Deuteronomy, the script goes on to say that Moses tells the people that these words should be bound on their hearts and their heads and their arms and their minds. And the truth is that for the Jewish people, it became part of their DNA. It was who they were. They lived and breathed this concept of the Lord and loving the Lord with everything that they have and everything that they were. They couldn't live without it, frankly, because it defined who they were. Well, time passes as time is wont to do, and Jesus Christ walked on this earth, and he lived and breathed and prayed and loved and ate and answered questions. And, of course, when someone said, "What's the greatest commandment?" As a good Jew, what would he say? He would quote Moses, the lawgiver. The Lord is your God. There is no God but he. And you will love him with everything that you are, everything that you have, everything that you can be. Mind, body, strength, and soul. What else could he say? He was a good Jew. Well, time passes as is its wont, and the Catholic Church became a force to be reckoned with. And at some point in time, it woke up and realized that as a church and as a moral force, it needed to take a stand. And in the early 1900s, Pope Leo XIII wrote an encyclical that is the source and ground of Catholic teaching. All Catholic teaching comes from that. Every encyclical that has been written since then that deals with Catholic social teaching in some point in time refers back to that encyclical. And I could give you the encyclical history, but that's not really the important part of this. The important part is, what's the essence? The essence reaches all the way back to Moses, the lawgiver, who says, this is it. If you are in a moral quandary, this is the measurement by which you take a stand. Loving God, loving neighbor, loving self. That's the measuring stick. And so when we find ourselves in a moral quandary, that's the rule to apply. Sounds really easy, right? Maybe. The bishops are meeting later this month in Washington, D.C. They met earlier in June to talk about some things. One of the things that they talked about in June was a document that comes out every 4 years, Faithful Citizenship. They've been issuing it every 4 years since 1976. And there's been additions to it, and it's been changed and edited and commuted and on and on and on and on. Well, during the meeting in June, even the bishops couldn't come together with some way of approaching all of the issues that face us today in our world. There was a segment of the population that said, we need to scrap this document and start all over, start from scratch, because there are so many issues before people today that we can't put it all together in a succinct manner unless we start over. There was a group that said, well, we have to include somehow, we have to include all the things that Francis has been talking about, whether it's about climate control or economics or whatever. That has to be part of the conversation. And there is another group that said, well, we can just edit and add and subtract and kind of do some things here. At the end of the meeting, they decided, well, we'll talk about it in November when we get together again. Well, between June and now, there was an explosion. And that will be part of the conversation as well. I was at one of the listening sessions that the bishop has asked to have and held. This one was down in Jeff City with our young people. We had a nice turnout from Newman, and the bishop was listening. He was listening very intently. He was taking copious notes because I was watching him take the notes. It was about five questions that he sort of put out before the people that came, and that's what he's been doing. And I'm assuming that the bishops all over the country are doing the same sort of format. These are the five questions that we are going to be dealing with when we meet, and we want your input. What do you think? How do you feel? What do you want us to know when we ask you these questions? And to our credit, I think, the young people gave him some good answers, had some good thoughts and some things to share. He had one this afternoon at 4 o'clock down in Jeff City. He's having another one tomorrow at Lourdes at 6. And I think it behooves us to take the opportunity to go and let the bishop listen to what we have to say. So think about it. But when you look at the questions in the context of Catholic moral teaching. Because you can apply that here as well. There are moral issues to be decided and to look at. One of the questions he asks is, what do you want your church to look like for your children and your grandchildren? What kind of a church do you want? It is a confusing, challenging, scary time in our world. But the thread that we can run through it is grounded in the history of the Jewish people, in the history of Catholicism, in the history of our world. When I'm afraid, when I'm lost, when I'm questioning, where do I go? Lord Jesus Christ, come, be my wisdom. Holy Spirit, lift me up, enlighten my heart. Tell me what to do. Show me what to do. Love God, neighbor, self with everything you are, everything you have, everything you can be. That's the measuring stick. You can't hear that enough. We are hardwired to seek the good. Thomas Aquinas says that, and I believe it too. God created us to seek good. Wouldn't it be nice if it was easy to decide what that was? Be prayerful. Be contemplative. Be thoughtful. But then act. Somehow respond. Somehow engage. Somehow do what Jesus asks us to do. Follow him.